Hi, I'm Stargate Pioneer.
And I'm Steven Jondrew, and we're from Better Podcasting, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the show you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of the individual host.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
I am the Green Arrow.
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
Welcome back to Earth 2's favorite newspaper. We call it the Starling Tribune. I am the chief editor tonight. My name is SP, and your other award-winning reporters for this episode number 219 of the Starling Tribune are Chris.
Typical Green Arrow move.
Welcome back to the podcast, Chris, and happy birthday.
Why, thank you, sir.
And Michelle.
I miss good old days when bomb could be turned off by computer far away in dark warehouse.
I miss the Russian accent, too. This podcast is recorded on Tuesday. That's right, Tuesday. It's a special night, November 20th, 2018, live on www.geeks.live.
That's right. And this evening, we'll be discussing the most recent episode of Arrow, as well as news, interviews, articles, and announcements that have dropped in the last week that could and very well will impact future episodes of Arrow, as well as the greater CWDC television universe. I don't know. We'll go with that. That includes The Flash, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, Constantine, The Ray, Black Lightning, maybe Batwoman. God knows what else they're going to add. There's so much stuff now.
If you're new to the show, thank you for searching us out on the internet and joining us. After the show, you can check out our content at GunnaGeek.com, where you can also find other geeky videos, podcasts, and articles.
Thanks, guys. Michelle, I think it's time to get into this week's episode of Arrow, so why don't you break it down for us?
Sure thing. This episode is called Due Process. It's Season 7, Episode 6. It aired Monday, November 19th, 2018. It was directed by Kristen Wendell. Credits include 3 Arrow, 1 Legends, and 1 Blind Spot. Written by Sarah Tarkoff. Credits include 9 episodes of Arrow and 1 Witches of East End. And Tanya Kong, whose credits include 2 Arrow and 1 Daredevil.
What a great team. Now, normally this is the time in the show where we go over the ratings for all the shows for the week. But since we're recording on Tuesday, not all the ratings are in. So we're not going to go through them. But I need you guys to make a guess. So last year, Arrow was on Thursdays, and they decided to air the night of the United States of America's Thanksgiving Day. Kind of an oddball move. We all thought about it at the time. They received really pitiful low live ratings. Now they gained some back. Do you guys think that this week, since they're on a Monday during the same holiday week, that they will get more ratings or live ratings or less or stay the same? What do you think, Chris?
I think it's probably going to stay about the same because this airs on a Monday. Thanksgiving week of Monday. That's pretty much regular business, at least for most people I'm around. They don't start taking leave until like Wednesday, Thursday time frame.
But do you think it's going to be more than the ratings last year during the same week or less?
More than last year, definitely. I mean, in comparison to the ratings we've had this year, I think it stays the same for this year, but definitely more than last year because they're not going up against Thanksgiving and 3 different NFL games.
That's right. Three. We're up to 3 now. Yeah. Michelle, what do you think? Same?
Yes. I think we're going to get the 1 million mark right around in there.
Okay. So better than last year, because last year on Thanksgiving Day, it was less. Okay. So that's our predictions. We'll see what happens next week. In the meantime, let's get back to this particular episode. We start off all our discussions on the episode about the overall theme, and we love to equate it back to the title of the episode, which is Due Process. So, Michelle, how would you equate the overall theme to the title?
Well, I got a couple ideas. First, we have Laurel going to court to help Oliver. Laurel actually trying to do the DA thing. And then Stanley isn't actually given due process because he's just automatically accused of killing the guard, and they just throw him in the hole without any sort of trial or questioning or anything. They just toss him in the hole. So that's what I got.
All right. We need to talk about Stan Lee later on in this episode, whether that's here nor there. It's one of the last scenes of the episode. So let's talk about it now. Stan Lee, he is accused of killing one of the guards. He goes into the hole. Oliver tries to acquit him. He seemingly does because he finds a knife with somebody else's fingerprints on them. Somebody else is accused now of the murder. Now, Stan Lee comes out of the hole and he knows whose prints were on the knife. And Oliver is now suspicious. I think our suspicions grow of our little friend, Stan Lee.
Just a little shady.
Yeah, he comes out and he's like, yeah, those were, you know, Turner's fingerprints on it. You know, they got him. And then he tries to cover it up like, oh, I must have overheard it somewhere. And Oliver plays it like real cool, you know, because here's Oliver going in and looking in the shower, finding the little hidey hole. So now it's, we've been trying to see what Stanley's angle is, if he's a Diaz plant or if he's something else. So, like, why do we think Stanley would go through that? Like, first, do we think he actually murdered the guard? Do we think he was trying to frame Turner? Or is he just trying to make Oliver feel good about himself?
I think he is connected to Diaz in some way, shape, or form and is playing the role in which Diaz told him to play.
Second that. I think he was put in there for the long term. Matter of fact, I think our friend Anatoly was actually put in there for the long term. It was an interesting torture scene with Anatoly because he was indeed tortured and burned somehow, like the dragon likes to burn people, apparently. And Anatoly ends up in the good graces of the team, and he ends up helping out the team at the end. But I can't help but think that he is helping bring down Oliver, because that's what Diaz said, that he wanted Anatoly to help bring down Oliver. That wasn't bringing down all, this whole thing wasn't bringing down Oliver unless it would have brought down the city, I guess. So I have my suspicions, and Anatoly is still in play, just as well as Stanley is.
What's interesting about Anatoly is his interaction with Felicity. And for me, this was almost like a Felicity episode. Anatoly told her that the way she's acting reminded him of the Oliver he worked with during his time in Russia, where this Oliver would act, this Oliver would make a decision and not regret it, would do the tough thing, would make the hard decision and just go for it. And it's almost like he's planting the seed of a supervillain, or maybe of a darker turn for Felicity.
I think they're hinting at the fact that she is not exactly thinking rationally. If you think back to the Oliver that he's referencing, that was the Oliver with a mission who was dead set on, I'll do whatever it takes to get this done. Whatever the consequences are, I don't care. And that's sort of what we're seeing with Felicity for most of this episode.
This has been growing, and it's been a constant thing that I've been saying. I don't think it's isolated to just this episode, but she definitely, the writers definitely pinned her in a hole this episode, of being kind of the maniacal person that's bent on revenge and trying to get her husband out. She's fighting two battles. She's got two fronts, which we're all convinced are actually the same, but she's trying to get her husband out of Slabside, and she's trying to make sure that Diaz is caught and out of play. And Diaz is caught. I don't necessarily think he's out of play. One, we're not even halfway through the season. Two, the helpers, the longbow hunters, are still out there. So I got to think that the longbow hunters are going to come along. They're going to get him out of prison. And he kind of let himself get caught. I think that was part of it. I think he would have preferred to get away, but this has always been a contingency. Like, if I get caught, okay, this is what's going to happen. So I think we're there. And don't forget, the whole episode is about him laying a trap. He used the silencer's belt and Anatoly to lay this trap. His trap's not done yet.
Yeah, it was interesting that he got Argus and the cops and Felicity. Maybe he thought Felicity and Renee and such would get arrested because they were doing their vigilante thing. Maybe he was counting on that, but that doesn't happen, though.
It's like there's some dangling plot threads on this in current time. We'll talk about the flash forwards, I guess, later. But in current time, I'm not satisfied with how this all went down. Yeah, hey, yay, we caught Diaz. But you still have the Longbow Hunters out there, and you still have Oliver in prison. Yay, there's an FBI investigation, so maybe this is our chance to have our FBI agent brought back into the scheme of things here. But I'm unsatisfied with the conclusion as per the entire plot of the season. And as it should be, because like I said, we're not even halfway through. We're not even to the mid-season finale.
We might be a quarter of the way through almost.
Yeah, we're only on episode 5. There's episode, 21, 22? So we're not even a quarter of the way there.
There's a lot left to happen.
There's a couple of things that bother me about current day Felicity. One is when she says, you made me send my son away. Technically, no. She could have kept him around. She could have kept William around. There were safe ways for her to keep William around.
Yeah, she took the easy choice, it seems like.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's like, if she got rid of him so she could be all obsessed.
Also, let's talk about, we always talk about villain monologuing. This is the quote-unquote hero monologuing. She gave away way too much information right there. I sent William away. Oh, now I know not to look for him in Star City. Now I know I have to go look for him elsewhere. Now I know that I'll look for any sort of communication that comes from you to go to William and vice versa. So William's now in play, current day William, not flash forward William, but this is a dangerous play. The writers might write it off like Diaz can't find him. Like all Diaz knows is that he's hurt Oliver and Felicity by sending William away. But still, like real world considerations, William is now more in danger thanks to you, Felicity.
But if he could find Felicity and William when they're under Argus lock and key in a safe house, one would think that's tougher than finding William sent off to some secure boarding school somewhere. I mean, if he really wanted to, he could find him at this point, but William's not the pressure point he wants at this point. I agree with what Steven had said in the chat room, that it was a cliche plot point monologue. I mean, it was basically an excuse to monologue and be like, here's why I don't like you so much right now. We already know. I mean, he ruined your life. You could have just left it at that.
And my second issue is, okay, I get it. Felicity's world has crumbled. This is her 7th year involved in being this whole vigilante world. And she has given Oliver speeches over the course of these 6 complete seasons about making sure you have a team, making sure you tell everybody, bring everybody in. And Diggle actually has this conversation with her about how she pushed everyone away and such. And part of me is just, wait a minute. She's in year 7. It just gets to me that she's been saying this for like 6 years, and then all of a sudden this one little opportunity happens and she just acts like Oliver from 1.
Did you guys see her guns, by the way? I'm not talking about any weapon she was holding. Did you see her arms? That woman has got herself stacked in the off season. She's been working out. She's got really toned arms, or at least that's what they looked like on screen. My hat is off to you because that takes a lot of work.
So I wanted to facetiously say this is all because plot, like Neil would put it. What I kind of think what you could argue is the case is that as bad as things have gotten before, Felicity always had that one constant touchstone of the fact that Oliver was there in some way, shape, or form, except for when they thought he was dead in 3. Neither here nor there. Let's bypass that one. But he's always been around in some way where she'd be able to count and depend on him to come and play some role, to help everyone, to bring everyone together, something like that. He can't do that. He's in prison, and he basically wants to be left alone to do his sentence to get home as soon as he can. So that center point that everything's built around, which is the father of William, her husband, the mission she's been supporting, her husband, that's kind of not there. So maybe it's kind of got her reeling a little bit as she tries to get centered again. Maybe that's the argument you can make. I don't know.
How many times has Oliver left the team?
Well, I mean, good point. But he was still there and you could still get to him. That's the thing. This is one of the very first instances we've had where there's no getting to Oliver. There's no, I need to talk to Oliver. I can find him easily enough to do it. He's behind prison bars. It's a permanent separation, for lack of a better term, with no end in sight besides the end of his sentence.
I know. It's just got to me that the way she's acting, I get it. I mean, that does say, I guess, something about her, that she's made her life all about Oliver. And that is a very dangerous thing to do. Yes, she loves him and they're married and everything, but your life shouldn't be around just like one person like that.
I agree. And I'm just trying to make a case as to why this might be the spiral out of control. I don't know that's necessarily the case. I could just be trying really hard to make the plot match up with why we're seeing something like this happen. I might be trying too hard. I don't know. I don't know that I fully believe what I just argued as a possibility. Let me put it that way.
SP?
See, the whole Felicity thing right now is really difficult to put in perspective, because she has been forced into a corner by the writers of having everything stripped from her, and she was told a certain thing by the authorities, and that didn't come true. So she's been rebelling against the fact that all this has been forced on her. None of the choices have been hers, by the way. And she just wants her life back. She wants her husband, who she loves so much that she intruded another wedding in order to marry. And I can kind of see it, but it is really a flip on Felicity. This is not the Felicity in season one. The character has progressed, but I don't know if it's been a good progression for her. That character, in my eyes, it could be a logical character progression in somebody else, but I want the fun ticka-ticka Felicity and not the kind of crazy, I'm going to burn down the world in order to save my husband Felicity.
Yeah, so while it might make some sense logically how we got there, you don't necessarily like the current instance we have of Felicity, if I'm understanding correctly.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I think that's fair. I don't think they want us to like her at times right now.
It's a dangerous road, because we've been down it before last year where they didn't want us to like
Renee.
Well, was it Renee or was it original? They didn't want us to like the new Team Arrow, or other Team Arrow as we called them here.
No, they actually wanted us to like them. They wanted it to be a Civil War sort of like, you love Captain America, you love Iron Man. Oh no, this is tough. But it's like, no, we love OTA.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think they're trying to make Felicity sympathetic to explain what happens in the flash forward, which I want to wait for that in a moment, because I want to talk about the other two ladies of Team Felicity, and that is Dinah and Laurel. Laurel actually tries to do her DA thing and argue on behalf of Oliver. And she doesn't succeed. And it's interesting how she reverts back to wanting to just go after the judge. And then Dinah actually stops Laurel and says, you know, during that hearing, you argued from the heart. Surprise, you've got one. And again, I've been calling it Black Siren Redemption Arc.
And it's not complete redemption, because even she says, you can't paint me into either box, when she was talking to Oliver at the end. And yeah, she's not a great lawyer. Oliver called it. We talked about it last week because it was in the promo, and we kind of knew this was all going to fail. She was kind of painting this picture of, oh, he's done all these great things in prison. Well, yeah, but he's still in prison for a reason. So the only thing that this could help Oliver is redemption for prison. So maybe earlier release date, maybe not a commutation of the prison sentence. But Laurel is in an interesting place. She's obviously anti-Diaz right now and has been for a while. She's the one who threw him off of the, I was searching for the right verb, thrown is not correct, projected him off the roof with her voice, with her sonic feature at the end of last season. I just don't see those two getting back together. However, they could. We were saying before, we're not even a quarter way through the season. I could see her going back and forth like one more time, but she's definitely, they're painting her as the better Second Earth Laurel now. And we're following this redemption arc. And I think most of the audience is right there. I think the audience is going to get their chain snapped, though, when she does something to go to the other side. Now, this episode, she was saved by Dinah Drake from doing something to that judge. I don't think that's always going to be the case. And then Laurel repays that back with Felicity at the end to get Felicity not to kill Diaz. I think Felicity would have killed Diaz at the end if it wasn't for Laurel. I think she would have pulled the trigger. I don't know if that would have actually killed him, but she would have shot Diaz, and that wouldn't have ended good for anybody, because then she would have been in prison for shooting Diaz, and then Diaz could have gotten out through the hospital, that sort of thing. So I'm glad it didn't happen, but every scene with Laurel, you don't know if it's going to be the good Laurel or the bad Laurel right now. And it's going to be interesting to watch that character.
Chris?
I still think it's very tough. The whole Dinah wanting to work with Laurel or kind of supporting Laurel and things being the moral compass. Because remember, she wanted to kill her all last season. So it's tough. I sort of buy putting aside past issues to work for a common goal, things like that. But I'm not sure that, well, maybe it's a sign of how Dinah's grown. Dinah from last season wouldn't have cared about Laurel trying to grow. It would have been, well, we need you for something, then I'm going to kill you. And now it seems like she almost wants to help her on the path of good.
Dinah's in a particular position herself, because in her real world job as the captain of the SCPD, she needs a functional DA, and Laurel is it right now. So they have to have an actual professional relationship between the two of them. It's got to be grating her to have that professional relationship and then have this undertone vigilante personal relationship going on, too. Dinah's handling it way better than I would have thought. Time heals all wounds sort of thing. There is an off season. A lot of people forgetting what happened last season, that Laurel killed Dinah's boyfriend, partner,
former boyfriend / partner. I think they were a combination of both.
Still, Dinah had a vendetta against Laurel. It's a multifaceted thing that they've created in the Arrowverse right here. And it's fun to watch now that they've established the ground rules and we're watching them, but it makes for some head-scratching moments.
I will say I find this instance of Laurel far more entertaining than Laurel that they killed off in the show. She's more interesting to me, at least, so while I'm not really buying into this whole redemption arc still, and they're giving us the hard sell, the character's at least interesting.
Did Katie Cassidy get a new walk? Because I was watching her. Is it a new walk from now from where she used to be? She's got a purposeful walk now.
Well, I mean, it would sort of make sense that you might want to portray the Laurels differently by having a different body language and things like that, because they have very different lives that they've had that would influence things. I mean, you've seen that before with other things where you have one actor portraying multiple characters of the same type. They try to find little subtle things that make them stand out and be different from one another, like Orphan Black, for instance.
Or not so subtle if you're talking about Tom Cavanaugh over on The Flash.
Right. Tom Cavanaugh is a really good example, staying in universe. So I think my guess is it's a conscious decision by Katie Cassidy to portray Black Siren a little different from how Laurel was portrayed.
But am I crazy? Is she walking differently, or am I just perceiving it differently?
Yeah, I actually agree. I mean, Black Siren's got a lot more confidence and just swagger, I guess, than Earth One Laurel ever had. Remember Earth One Laurel? It took her a while to just find herself, find her purpose in the superhero world.
Yeah, I'd hate to say it, but it's the quintessential CW kind of whiny girl on the show back in season one. Yeah.
Well, one of the things this episode did was show a Felicity who could turn dark. And when we go to the flash forward, we learn more about what happened to Felicity, allegedly. According to future Dinah, Felicity was murdered about 2 weeks ago. Before that, she had gone underground and started calling herself the Calculator. For those of you who are perhaps new to the show, the Calculator is actually the name of Felicity's father. So her father is actually a villain, reformed, perhaps, questionably. And she goes underground, takes on that name. They find her lair. Looks like there's plans and money to actually level Star City. What did we think about that? I know, SP, Felicity's kind of been your thing this season. So what do you think about it?
Yeah, I got two things, first of all, to start us off. First of all, I don't think she is actually dead. I think that she's still alive. So let's put that in a little box because it really doesn't matter for the rest of this episode. The second thing is I think that future Dinah and future Zoe killed her or think they killed her. So that's how they know that Felicity kind of, quote unquote, died 2 weeks ago. That's an interesting twist and I can see it happening. Aside from that, I don't think Felicity is bad. I think that they're just portraying this series of events like it appears like she is bad. And I think she's trying to point out that this is a plan that somebody else had and is probably still going to happen and we need to stop it. The one thing that stops me from going 100% in there, like just 95%, is in their explanation of the plan. When I don't know what we're going to talk, let's just call him Future Team Arrow. When Future Team Arrow gets into the bunker, they mention that Felicity had enough resources to actually, or the funding to carry it out. And that is the one thing that stops me from saying this was actually Felicity, or this is one thing that makes me say this was Felicity's plan all along. And that would kind of hurt for her to go completely that direction. But I just don't think in any iteration of Felicity in Earth One that she would be capable of doing it. So that's interesting. Also, the password to get into her lair was awesome. Roy, you go, boy.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I think how they're portraying Felicity in current day combined with what we're seeing in the future day, they really want us to think that she's continued to go over the edge and become more of whatever the cost, I'm going to do it to get things done. I think it's a red herring, all of those explosive plans to think that, oh, Felicity was going to blow up the city. No, she has the plans. That doesn't necessarily mean she created them or had a purpose for them. It very well could be she got them from someone or someone was planning to do that. I think it's too simple for it to pick up. Oh, Felicity's a villain. Now she's going to blow up the city. I think there's more layers to it. That doesn't necessarily mean that Felicity's 100% innocent in things and isn't making dark and potentially bad decisions. But I don't think she's gone fully around the bend.
By the way, back to the password for a second, which was basically Roy Harper shooting arrows into some fake tennis balls. Now we've come full circle. They are fake tennis balls with fake arrows shot by probably a stuntman. But Roy's definitely got an archer stance there, so that's pretty good. But fake arrows, fake tennis balls this time around.
So I had noticed this in previous flash forwards. I just noticed it this time, but is it just me or does Dinah have a scar across her voice box? It certainly looked like when she was talking to Zoe and to William, they showed a shot and it certainly looked like there was a scar, just a straight line that was across the voice box. So now I'm trying to figure out who tried to mute the canary and did it work?
The lighting made it very difficult to because there was a couple of times where I saw a full shot of her neck and I was just noticing that there was something wrong with her neck, but the lighting is such that they were all kind of lit up weird and it kind of looked like a scar on all of their necks. And I don't know if it's there or not. So we'll have to keep looking for that, just like I'm keep looking at the new Green Arrow suit.
That's fair. I think I'm going to go back and look at some screenshots and see if I can't figure it out from earlier episodes after we're done recording.
Another thing about the flash forward, William and Zoe, they had like a banter and they talked about knowing each other when they were younger. But in the current timeline, they didn't spend that much time together.
Maybe the implication is William comes back before he gets sent away again. It certainly didn't seem that way based off of earlier episodes this season, so I'm not sure.
Or maybe Renee sends Zoe off to the same school.
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, what happened to Renee? Has that been voiced? I don't remember anybody talking about Renee.
She said that he wouldn't be caught dead coming back to Star City.
That's fair enough. I think that was last episode.
There's some other things in the future. Dinah's actually questioning if they can trust William. We heard something called the Mark of Four, and the name Black Star came up. So they're laying some interesting breadcrumbs in this future storyline.
Can't wait.
Isn't Black Star Starfire's sister in the comics? That might be a good Easter egg.
I tried to look up Market 4 in relationship to DC Comics, and I did not find anything. I don't know about Black Star.
I talked about this before. I'm liking the mystery that they're laying out for us in this season. It's the best season since season one, season two with this, and it keeps me interested. I know there's some issues with the flash forward. I know people are saying it's painting them into a corner. I know that we might not think that it's even Earth One. It could be an alternate Earth or an alternate future, but it's fun trying to piece the puzzle together right now. And that's the point of watching a season of TV. Give me a good mystery that I can get from point A to point B within the one season. And we really didn't get that in seasons 3, 4, 5, and 6 with Arrow. We're really getting it now. So kudos to Beth Schwartz for bringing that back in. Really enjoy it.
Well, as we mentioned before, Diaz gets caught and the fake Green Arrow gets credit for it, even though it was a joint effort. Now, Chris, you said you had some more ideas about this new Green Arrow.
So maybe it's just because I've been watching trailers for the crossover, but I did notice when the new Green Arrow, the fake Green Arrow, is sparring with Diaz, he's not exactly tall and huge like Oliver Queen. So I started thinking, I wonder if this is Elseworld's Oliver Queen, aka Barry Allen, and this is setting up the crossover by somehow having Elseworld Green Arrow in our world.
That's interesting. Yeah, I like it. Now, Chris, last episode, you weren't here, but I spied, and you can go, since you're going to go back and look at some screenshots, go back at the end of last episode and look at Talia. There's one shot from behind. Her quiver is green. It is obviously green, but when she swivels to the front, it looks like her entire suit is black and maybe not. It's hard to tell if there's some green on there or not. But based on the fact that the quiver was green, I was saying, ooh, she's the new Green Arrow. But then in this episode, when the new Green Arrow is fighting Diaz in the warehouse area, I looked for that same quiver color and didn't find it. So I don't know if they're using different suits, different quivers, maybe it's different lighting, or maybe they're two different people. So maybe my Talia theory is debunked, but I will still be watching for that because we didn't see Talia back and she's not gone. I think she's going to turn up later on in the season. So this would be a great way to bring her back where she's not, the actor is not actually on TV. It's a stunt person in the suit, but the character comes back later. So I could see that.
But she's been in Slab's side.
Yeah. I know you brought that up last time, and I just didn't get out the fact that maybe Diaz had been letting her in and out for some reason.
I don't think Diaz has that much control over the prison.
I don't know what he has control of and what he doesn't. It's hard to say. I mean, he took over the entire Star City pretty easily last year, so maybe he still has some hooks in. I don't know.
Do you have any new ideas, Chris, about who it might be?
Other than Elseworld Oliver Queen, aka Barry Allen, that was my newest weird, crazy idea. Do I think it's going to happen? No. Do I think it'd be awesome? I think it'd be really cool if they started setting up the Elseworlds by doing that.
I could see that. It would tie everything in. That would be good.
Do you think it could be Future Zoe?
Future Zoe's taller than this fake Green Arrow appears to be, from what I could tell. I mean, look at her next to Dinah, and she's pretty tall, and I don't think... And look at, we've seen screenshots of Stephen Amell next to Kirk Acevedo and things like that. And Stephen Amell is a great deal taller than him. So trying to then compare Stephen Amell to Juliana Harkavy to the actress playing future Zoe makes me think that she's too tall for this Green Arrow.
I've almost just given up on the size of the new Green Arrow in the costume because it still could be anybody. I mean, they might not have even casted who it's really supposed to be, and they could change the size on it. So it's a hard one to go by size there. But if it is somebody that's supposed to be somebody that's on screen, the size actually is the same size as Talia. So at least I'm in the ballpark, at least for this episode. I'd have to go back and check all the rest of the episodes to see if it fit the same height.
To be fair, I said this a couple episodes back. I think it's true to this day. I'm pretty sure whenever new Green Arrow's face is covered, it's a stuntman in that costume. And we're not actually going to know who even the actor is that's playing that role until they unmask at some point in time.
Could be. Unless it's Talia, because we would have then seen her in the suit.
Yeah.
But I kind of like the idea that perhaps it's maybe future Zoe. And just that just came to me right now. So, Chris, is there anything else you want to talk about with the episode?
I don't have anything that I can think of, no.
SP?
Yes, Bronze Tiger is in the hole. He didn't do it, and he's somehow going to come back out, and he's either going to help Green Arrow or be really pissed at him.
Based off the preview for next week's episode, there's going to be a lot of people that are pissed at the Green Arrow next week.
Indeed.
Well, that takes care of this episode. Next week, we have the Slab Side Redemption. It is Season 7, Episode 7. It will air Monday, November 26, 2018. Oliver makes a choice that will affect his entire life, as well as the lives of everyone he cares about. Directed by one of our favorites, James Bamford, and was written by Jill Blankenship and Rebecca Bellotto.
A trio I can't wait to see. Live from the Starling Tribune main news desk on floor 52 of Starling Tribune Tower, it's the weekly news roundup with award-winning chief news anchor Michelle Ealy. And now, Michelle Ealy.
Thank you, SP. Have a couple of crossover bits. Mine is we saw the Supergirl teaser trailer. She's actually in Behind Bars. In the promo, Supergirl's in a precarious position, imprisoned in a containment cell in an alternate version of the Flash Star Labs. Kara Danvers is confronted by her captor, a twisted incarnation of her adopted older sister, Alex, in a very different hairstyle. I really hope when we see the episode, the wig looks better. Because in the promo, the wig didn't look all that great.
Yeah, I am current on Supergirl right now, just until the crossover. And then I think I'm going to drop being current with it because I'm just not feeling this season. But the bond that those two have is stronger than ever. So having one flip on each other in the crossover, that's going to be meaningful this year. So that'll be something.
And Chris, you have something about Batwoman.
Yes, we've seen the pictures of Ruby Rose on set in costume. Well, now we get to see the first instance of Batwoman on film, even though nothing's really on film anymore. But you guys know what I mean. We've seen all these other Elseworld promos, but now we got our first teaser of Ruby Rose as Kate Kane, aka Batwoman. It's only a few teasing shots, but we do get to see Gotham City's new Cape Crusader watching over her city before seemingly dropping in on Green Arrow and Vibe, who are at the time talking about the myths surrounding the Dark Knight. And yes, this promo also mentions, for the first time, officially, Batman in the Arrowverse as well. So Batwoman and Batman exist in the Arrowverse, and they seemingly hinted at the Joker in a different promo I'd seen. So who knows what all we're going to get. It's certainly interesting, and I'm looking forward to seeing just what they do with Batwoman.
That's not Batman. I heard that and my head snapped. I was like, what? That is awesome. Also, remember Talia mentioned that she ran across somebody in Gotham. So I don't know if that's going to come up back up or not, or if that was just a name drop of Gotham just to prepare the audience that Gotham's coming.
Ooh, maybe Damian Al Ghul exists in the Arrowverse then.
I don't know. Maybe.
Because remember, Talia is Bruce's beloved.
I just can't wait for the crossover now. It's going to be fun.
Me too. This one has got my brain wrapped, you know, like what in the world is going to like happen? Like last year, we kind of had an idea of what was going to happen and such, but this one, man, I have no clue. Well, that is it for the news. Now, Chris, we are part of a larger podcasting network, aren't we?
That is right. We're part of the Gunna Geek Network. There's 25 plus different shows in the network. And as much as I would love to tell you guys about every show on the network, it would add like another 30 minutes to this podcast. And I don't know about you guys, it's almost dinner time. So we're only going to talk to you about one show, just like we normally do each week, because we're going to give you a taste of one show and say, hey, maybe you should check this out. And we've talked about the Game Life Balance show before, but it's been the Australian guys. This time we're talking about the American edition of the Game Life Balance podcast, episode 56 specifically, entitled John Returns to the Show, Balancing Not One, but two kids. After a five-month hiatus from podcasting, Jonathan Martin returns to the show with an update on his game life balance. He talks about welcoming a second son into his family and catches up with Cody on some of the video games they've been playing. Plus, get a sneak peek at the video games they plan on talking about in the next few episodes. The show is back. So welcome back, Cody and John and Game Life Balance US. Guys, you should go check it out. It's a homecoming episode for them, and it's bound to be tons of fun.
It was definitely fun. I was able to pop into a few minutes of their live recording, and we were just cracking up, going back and forth in chat. It's always a fun time with the star of the show, Jonathan Martin, and his sidekick, Cody.
Verified Cody.
Verified sidekick Cody.
Verified sidekick Cody. Well, guys, looking at the clock and looking at our show notes, it's time for us to start wrapping up this latest episode of the Starling Tribune. So a big thank you to everyone who joined us in the chat room over on Geeks.live, but also a thank you to those of you that go and download the podcast audio style from StarlingTribune.com or catch the video replay at YouTube.com/GonnaGeek.
If you happen to have an Amazon device, you can, a smart Amazon device, an Amazon home device, I don't know what we're supposed to call it, but if you happen to have one, you can always enable our podcast as a skill. All you have to say is the activation word, whatever that is, could be one of many, and say enable Starling Tribune. And then you have the skill to listen to our show no matter how you want to. You can fast forward, you can rewind, you can go back and forth between shows. It is a great skill. Also, we now have a network-wide Discord server at www.gunnageek.com/discord. You can join that and join all of us for live chats in the Discord channel and all of the other shows as well. And finally, remember, you can always catch us live as we record at www.geeks.live at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 p.m. Pacific, usually on Thursdays. This week was a special week on Tuesday, but we will be back to Thursdays next week.
We would love to hear from you. We are the Starling Tribune on Facebook and Instagram, at Starling Tribune on Twitter, and you can call us at 612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-2283. This brings us to the end of another great episode. Any last words before we sign off? At Stargate Pioneer.
Hashtag bomb synchronization.
At the Chris Farrell.
Hashtag verified sidekick.
And I am at Michelle Ely, signing off with hashtag Lair Fern. Oracle, I think we're done here.
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at GunnaGeek.com or check out our archive at StarlingTribune.com. Visit GunnaGeek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at Incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.
Lairford. That's awesome. I was thinking that when they did that quick cut between when Laurel kind of brushed by that one shrubbery outside and they did that cut inside.
I know. I forgot to, like, it's right there in the notes. And it was like, I wanted to say that, well, Felicity can't be all bad if she's got a fern in her lair. Because as we all know, when you have a fern in the lair, that equals like love or something. So.
Did you guys notice all the cuts in this episode were done probably about the best that I've seen in a while, where they were going from one scene in one era or area and then back, just back and forth using kind of like the same graphic back and forth? It's pretty cool.
Yeah, like the same movement or close up on a similar object or a similar movement. Yeah, it was a really good one.
These guys can produce another episode anytime, as far as I'm concerned. Kristen, Sarah, and Tanya.